And then, I'm going to open us with prayer. I forgot to say that before want. Welcome to the table. My name is Linda. I'm going to open worship this morning. I would like to open worship this morning with pausing for prayer and breathing. I think many of us might have heard on the news this week a very sad discovery of human beings found in a truck while other trucks in the world was just passing them by. 50 people were either dead and or suffering and dying. And so I would like us to pause and hold that before God in silence, and then I'm going to pray. So let us be in silence as we gather. This world, God, it's sometimes impossible and unthinkable. And again, this week, we are brought to our knees, holding the suffering of our siblings. Every day, the innocent continue to suffer. People risk their lives. Families grieve. And the world for 50 people has ended without any reasonable fanfare. And so often, God, it feels like people want us to think there's nothing that can be done. But that's not true, and we know that. So help us to know what to feel, whether it be rage or grief or sorrow, even being in touch with our numbness. Help us know what to do, whether it's to advocate or to protest or to simply lament. Blessed are those who let reality in, even though our bodies shudder. Blessed are those who ask and wait and ask again for the courage to change and to move our culture, whose laws and complicity so often make space for death instead of life. Give us hope, God. We don't want to have feet of stone. Hold our heavy minds and hearts and give us eyes of love. Amen.
Don't want to have feet of stone. I don't want to have feet of stone. I want to follow this river of life where it will have me go. Don't want my words to be a weapon, but a healing balm. don't wanna have a heavy mind. I don't wanna have a heavy mind. I don't wanna hold these thoughts that are chains of iron. I don't wanna have a heavy mind. I wanna have eyes of love. I wanna have eyes of love. Count the beggar's life precious as my own. Offer my back for my neighbor's load. I wanna have eyes of love. I wanna have eyes of love.
I'm noticing lately a new season taking on inside this aging heart, weather making storm unfamiliar. It's not downpour or stars abundant warm, something desolate but important, remaking my first norm. And I'm scared what it might ask, or if I'm one unmoored and I keep waiting for you to cry heretic because I'm breaking from old form and it feels lonely. But I keep finding rock cairns on this way, alone but I'm surrounded, birds making flight today. Yes, they're rising up, they're finding this stream of air called God and a freedom that's undoing and a rooting kind of love. Now I can't help but ask, what's the point of being Christian if the fullest pathway forward is one of weed identification? Cutting loose the rope that's strung on love and all her movement, what will be left when we're done with this familial disagreement? Repenting for our transgressions against the lungs of this earth and the hope of so many peoples there, in bowing could we remember our worth? Have we been running from resurrection? As a body, all these years, whenever we make it supernatural, the complete triumph of our fears, and I wonder about Jesus, for he lived a reconciling sort of way, wanting life abundant. He did not push death away, but took his stay, nursing even deaths become his wounds, and only then making leavened bread for our food. So pause your inclination for escaping. Lean into this dying reality, struggle with the conception that ours alone is all totality. Yes, stay a moment with plurality. For could it be that death is not the enemy, but a part of God's very process, a critical piece, not finality? That's where I'm at, just trying to digest. Staring at this fermenting dough. We need balance for community to make, and full life cycles for the bread to grow, and its sourness and salt that create taste. And too, in this faith unfamiliar and unraveling, I trace the patterns of the earth, and sense a new dawn for our traveling, a filtering light as we stoop and search. Grace.
Every time I feel this way, this old familiar sinking, I will lay my troubles down.
down by the water, where the river will never run dry. Hallelujah.
I'm gonna let myself be lifted.
Hallelujah.
I'm gonna let myself be lifted.
Hallelujah.
I'm gonna let myself be lifted.
By and by,
by
I will lay my troubles down by the water, where the river will never run dry. It's been said and do
believe as you ask,
so shall you receive.
So take from me
these troubles, bring me sweet release, where the river will never run dry. Hallelujah.
I'm gonna let myself be lifted.
Hallelujah.
I'm gonna let myself be lifted.
Hallelujah.
I'm gonna let myself be lifted.
By and by,
I
will lay my troubles down by the water, where the river will never run dry. There is a river in this heart of hearts, where knowingness of my highest good I am willing. I will do my part, where the river will never run dry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
By and by,
I will lay my troubles down by the water, where the river will never run dry. Where the river will never run dry. This river will never run dry.
Right. Good morning. Welcome to the table at Central United Methodist Church. My name is Avery, and I serve both as our Sunday morning coordinator here at 8th Street, as well as one of our co-farm leads out at Table Farm. We are grateful to root our lives in grace through weekly worship on Sunday mornings, both here in person as well as online. This morning, we begin a new 4-week worship series called Summer of Roar, which is rooted in the reflections and contemplative practices of Father Richard Rohr on resurrection. As a community, we grow in faith in weekly kitchen tables, which are small groups that are the heartbeat of our community of faith. Each week, we gather to hold our lives in conversation with the great commandment, loving God, loving our neighbors, and searching scripture together. Our co-pastors lead a 6-week series called Growing in Faith to help newcomers move into these small groups. And our next series will be offered online on Tuesday evenings from 6 to 7:30 p.m. beginning August 2nd. If you would like to connect with others and learn more about how we practice our faith, you can sign up today on our website. Our children grow in faith outdoors with a story and art at 9:30 on Sunday mornings, and outside with loving child care at 11 a.m. on Sunday mornings during the summertime. We are in need of parents and adults to help facilitate and lead some of these child care services, and so if you are willing to, please sign up on our website. The website is thetableumc.org. We would love for your participation. As a community of faith, we reach in love in many ways. So, with that being said, we encourage you to join a community volunteer shift out at Table Farm. We have 3 volunteer shifts a week, Tuesday evenings, Friday mornings, and Saturday mornings. Please note that we have flower subscriptions available, weekly flower subscriptions. Some of our bouquets from just yesterday were amazing, got a lot of rave reviews. So if you would like to sign up, you can visit thetable.farm. A note for those of us who are gathering online at thetable.live, Chloe is there with you as our host for this morning. If you have any questions or need assistance, you can message her directly, or you can share your thought in the chat. And when you feel ready, we encourage you to sign in and to find a virtual seat, and that way you're able to connect with others, much like we do on Zoom. If you would like to follow along with the flow of worship, you can use the QR code, which is here in the sanctuary on the inside or the outside of the pews. It's also right up there on the screen. And for those online, there will be a link shared with you in the chat. If you would like to learn more about our community of faith or just stay in touch with us, you can text the word new to the number that you see there on the screen. Or, again, you can visit our website, and that's thetableumc.org. And once you get there, you'll find a pop-up in the bottom right-hand corner of the screen, and you can connect with us that way. We will continue to move in worship with a hymn which was originally written by George Matheson, who became blind at the age of 18, and shares this about the song. My hymn was composed on the evening of the 6th of June, 1882. Something happened to me, which was known only to myself, and which caused me the most severe mental suffering. The hymn was the fruit of that suffering. It was the quickest bit of work I ever did in my life. I had the impression, rather of having it dedicated to me by some inward voice than working it out myself. I invite you to stand as you are willing and able, and to join our voices together as our music team shares, O Love That Will Not Let Me Go.
Shall endless be.
Amen. You may be seated. It's really something. Here we are, 2022, singing words that were penned in the 1800s. There's a long line of love we are part of. We begin a new worship series. Pastor Matt will say a lot about that. But our scriptures for these weeks are not from the lectionary. They are lifted from the writings of Richard Rohr and how he was moving and his thoughts and writings. And so this morning, our scripture comes from the Gospel of Luke. And it's out of the 24th chapter. And most of the time, you hear it read by us down at the Rose Garden on Easter morning. So this is Luke 24, 1 through 5. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen."
As our musicians move down, I invite us into a spirit of prayer. Loving God, may we find rest for our weary souls in the depth of your love, which indeed will not let us go. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be in alignment and be in tune with your grace and your hope for the world this very day. We offer this time and our lives in your creative ways in many names. Amen. A clinical psychologist shared an image in the New York Times earlier this week, which has stayed with me. She wrote, "Many of us feel we are walking through sludge." Sludge. I thought, yep. She continues, "The most informed and compassionate among us are the most vulnerable to despair. We understand the brokenness and the sorrow in our own and faraway communities. We are also fully aware of all the things we cannot change. Staying focused on the light in the world is hard work." Walking through sludge. I don't really have an experience of walking through sludge, but an image for me that came up this week as I was holding this wasn't sludge at all, but it was being with family on a lake in northern Minnesota, and this was from years ago. And on the edge of this lake, there's not sludge, but there are rocks, and those rocks are covered with this gook. That's like the biological term for it. And the gook on top of the rock makes the rock slippery. And I don't know about your feet, but when my feet are on those rocks, I am hard-pressed to find any sense of balance. And so I'm there on the edge of the lake, and the rocks are hitting my foot. My foot is pressing down on the rock, and I'm tense because I'm feeling like I'm going to fall because it's slippery. But then I'm also feeling the pain shooting through my feet because it doesn't feel good to stay right there. And there's really nothing that you can do in that moment is how it feels to me. Like, you can either keep walking or you can keep standing on the rock that is already hurting your feet. And other folks seem to move more easily there than I do, but I confess that I get tight and I'm on an edge and I'm feeling like I'm gonna fall, and just the whole thought of possibly falling makes the whole experience hurt even more. And I haven't really felt like I've been walking through sludge these last few weeks or months, or is it years? But I do feel like I've been trying to find some balance on the edge of that water. And often I find myself feeling unbalanced, on edge, about to fall. Dr. Pfeiffer's article in the New York Times is titled, "How I Build a Good Day When I'm Full of Despair at the World." I've bookmarked this and I keep going back. Because my feet hurt, and I'm tired of trying so hard not to fall. I want the stress to go away, the anxiety to fade, the tension to be released. I want to build a good day even when I'm full of despair at the world. I just want to have a stronger sense of footing on top of these slippery, painful rocks. Well, thankfully, we are not the first to find ourselves walking through sludge or trying to navigate the edge of this slippery lake. The writings actually of Father Richard Rohr have helped many, many people to find their way through their own experience of brokenness and despair. And so it's our hope over these weeks that we will hold these writings on resurrection as we seek together to build good days when we are on the edge of despair. And for those that aren't familiar, Father Richard Rohr is a Franciscan friar, and he's also a Catholic priest. He's the founding director of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I want to give you a warning. Some followers of Jesus will tell you that Father Richard Rohr is himself, in his being, the very weed that Pastor Tara was preaching about last Sunday. They will let you know that Father Richard Rohr's writings have led many a people, like Michael Gunger, the brother of one of the artists we've sung from this morning, and countless others away from what they know to be true orthodoxy, as they've defined it. And people in our own community have been told by religious leaders that merely reading Richard Rohr is itself dangerous. Perhaps not surprisingly, Pastor Linda and I, we think it actually is dangerous, not in the way that they're imagining it. We find his writings to echo in powerful, powerful ways our own sense of how God is moving in the world. And so we're calling these weeks the Summer of Rohr. And so here's a taste of how Father Richard Rohr writes. He says, "Most of us understandably start the journey, like the spiritual journey, the faith journey, assuming that God is up there. And our job is to transcend this world to find him." And I'm using him there very intentionally. And I suspect that the up there mentality is the way most people's spiritual search actually has to start. But once the real inner journey begins, once you come to know that in Christ, God is forever overcoming the gap between human and divine, the Christian path becomes less about climbing and performance and more about descending, letting go, and unlearning. So over these 4 weeks, we hope to reflect upon how God is overcoming the gap between human and divine, to share together in contemplative practices which will challenge us to engage in real inner work as we open ourselves to the ever expanding understandings of resurrection. So we want to let go and unlearn some images of resurrection, which many of us have come to hold as sometimes even the only way to think about resurrection. For many of us, namely, this means that we'll need to be letting go or unlearning the notion that resurrection is itself a one-time miracle in the life of Jesus that asks or demands assent and belief. But instead of simply deconstructing that narrow, time-bound, historic understanding of resurrection, we want, alongside Richard Rohr, to open to deeper ways of seeing resurrection, as he writes, as a pattern of creation that has always been true and that invites us to much more than belief in a one-time miracle. And this will, for many of us, mean letting go of some of what we've understood Christianity to be. And to help with this image, Father Richard opens his most recent book with a story from the autobiography of a 20th century English mystic named Carol Houselander. She is on a train when she writes this, on a train in London, the underground, and she has an experience, a vision that changes her life. So again, she's writing in the 20th century in a train in London, and she shares this. I was in an underground train, a crowded train in which all sorts of people jostled together. Workers of every description going home at the end of the day. Quite suddenly, I saw with my mind, but as vividly as a wonderful picture, Christ in them all. But I saw more than that. Not only was Christ in every one of them, living in them, dying in them, rejoicing in them, sorrowing in them, but because Christ was in them and because they were here, the whole world was here too, here in this underground train. Not only the world as it was at that moment, not only all the people in all the countries of the world, but all those people who had lived in the past and all those yet to come, I came out into the street and walked for a long time in the crowds. It was the same here, on every side, in every passerby, everywhere. Christ. Christ is everywhere. In Christ, every kind of life has a meaning and has an influence on every other kind of life. Realization of our oneness in Christ is the only cure for human loneliness. For me too, it is the only ultimate meaning of life, the only thing that gives meaning and purpose to every life. And after a few days, the vision faded. People looked the same again. There was no longer the same shock of insight for me each time I was face to face with another human being. Christ was hidden again. Indeed, through the years to come, I would have to seek for Christ. And usually I would find Christ in others and still more in myself, only through a deliberate and blind act of faith. Carol Houselander was walking through sludge. She was ostracized, actually, from the community around her when her divorced mother welcomed a priest to stay in their boarding house that they were running together. Carol Houselander was walking on those painful rocks on the edge of that lake in Minnesota. She was experiencing panic attacks. They were pervasive in her life. Anxiety overwhelmed her day to day. And then, sitting on an ordinary train, she began to realize the love of God was not merely made known and fully known in the historic person of Jesus, but was indwelling everything around her. Everything. Even those the world shunned because they didn't conform to dominant understandings of piety. Carol Houselander chose to sit down on those painful rocks. Instead of stepping anxiously ahead or risking running atop those rocks, she sat down. She slowed down and began in that process to see Christ everywhere, to see resurrection in everything. Here's a clip from a video on Father Richard Rohr challenging us to stop running from resurrection. Let's watch.
Have you ever noticed in your own thought patterns? Now, this isn't highly philosophical, theological at all. You just observe your own mind. And if there is something negative or problematic, you will wrap around that immediately. Watch yourself. You can have even a moment of great joy, and it's hard to wrap around. It's hard to sustain happiness. It really is. You have to work. You have to choose. You have to clear away the garbage to sustain honeymoons and moments of happiness. They run away for some terrible reason. It's almost diabolical. I mean that. We're attracted to the negative.
I'd rather hold on to victimhood than...
Yeah, yeah. Joy is not easily sustained. We lose it in a moment. I'm making the connection with resurrection. That resurrection has to be not just surrendered to, but has to be recognized as such. I'm feeling really content and full right now. How can I deeply say yes to that, you know, and allow that? Now I admit there are some people who want to sustain it at a superficial level, which becomes addiction. And we're not talking about addiction. But resurrection is not our natural state. It's always a gift from God, but a gift from God that we have to assent to and choose and make our own. You don't have to believe anything. You just watch your own mind. And you're doing this every day, and I'm doing this every day, avoiding resurrection and choosing hell. Yeah. And when you think the negative commentaries that people write nonstop for years on end about their first wife or their the job they lost, or they really do dig a pit for themselves that pretty soon it's dug so deep. And now we know this is even true physiologically, that the neural grooves that you overuse become myelinated, defined, strengthened, and the ones you don't use die. This can be proven. If you never go to the neural groove of mercy, never. I don't practice mercy. By the time you're my age, you don't know how to be merciful anymore. That's why most old people are, as we say, set in their ways, not much fun to be around, if they've only kept affirming the same obsessive. See, most thinking is obsessive thinking. It took my contemplative practice to recognize that in myself, but then to help other people recognize it in themselves. That if you watch, you tend to think the same thing over and over and over again. It's, why? What good is it after a while? So unless you jump out of that neural groove that you've over-practiced, now that's what you're doing in contemplation. You have the temptation to the resentful thought from the guy who did me in yesterday. All right, okay. You can go back to that, but you've thought it once. You've felt it through once. You really don't need to practice feeling resentment toward him for another 24 hours. You're doing yourself a favor, and you're doing the universe a favor, to move to another response and say, as my Father Francis taught us, that those you think are your enemies are your greatest friends, because they're going to teach you exactly this, that you don't know how to love yet, that you're not in Christ, in love. You're in resentment is what you are. And when you're in resentment, you're not in Christ. The two can't coexist. So you see how I keep bringing it back to some kind of necessary meditation, contemplative practice, because otherwise people don't see these things. And ministers get up before huge congregations and preach an entire sermon on a good scripture, but out of a resentful mindset. It's largely not just a waste of time, but destructive.
It's like that, yeah.
from resurrection. Two men in dazzling clothes looked upon the women in the empty tomb, and they said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here, but has risen. I don't know about you, but I look for the living among the dead because my ways of thinking, my ways of seeing the world, my tendencies toward resentment are pits that I dig and I get stuck in them, ruts that I find myself in. And I keep trying to walk on the rocks along that lake, and I keep feeling my feet hurt below me. I keep feeling that I'm gonna fall. My stress rises, and the pattern continues. That becomes a rut. And friends, what if in this moment, the call, at least for some of us, at least for some time, is to just sit down. To stop running in the sludge. Stop trying to navigate those painful rocks below our feet and to just sit down. To take in the world around us. Father Richard Rohr has a practice in his most recent book that's woven through the whole book. And it's a practice of sharing just short, brief phrases. And then instead of moving on to the next chapter, he wants us to pause. And he puts them throughout, weaves them throughout the text as a reminder to linger, to sit down, to allow our hearts and bodies to engage life that's around us. So an example of this, he invites us to hold this good news. Christ is everywhere. In Christ, every kind of life has a meaning and a solid connection. In just a moment, we're going to move into the sacrament of communion, and this itself is a practice that invites followers of Jesus into precisely this kind of awareness. Through the bread and the cup, recognizing that Christ is everywhere. In Christ, every kind of life has a meaning and a solid connection. But we break bread at a table where all are welcome in hopes that this will be the way that shapes our life together. Yet the truth is we won't take this feeling of communion or common union out with us forever. Like Carol Hostetler experienced, at some moment, Christ will again be hidden for us. I trust even in this moment, even as some of us will experience Christ in the practice of breaking bread, for others this morning, Christ will be hidden even in this moment that we're in. The ruts we're in are real, and they're deep. And sitting down might actually feel like we're not going to get where we're going. How could sitting down possibly help us to build a good day when we feel so much despair? Well, if, as the mystic Carol Hostetler suggests, that realization of our oneness in Christ is the only cure for human loneliness, then perhaps sitting down is actually our way through amid the sludge of this day. For those of us that are running in ruts, running away from resurrection, my prayer and my hope is that we find the courage to sit down and to start loving the world as it is within us and all around us. Amen.
Jesus invited those closest to him to slow down and to break bread, right? And we may have images of tables like the one that's right here in front of me, in front of all of you all, when we think about Jesus doing that. Pastor Matt and I actually have a friend right now who's traveling in, I don't know the name of the country, but all of the photos of the sand dunes and the movement in that culture for the meals, he's been showing that they all are reclining around very low tables, nothing like we have here. So that's more like it was in Jesus's day. Following in the echoes of this way, then we are going to share our bread and cup. We're going to do it outside for lots of reasons, right? But here inside this morning, right now, I'm going to invite us to remain seated right where we are. And wherever you are at home, I hope you can find a comfortable place to be seated or even to kneel. And we're going to move into communion, and we're going to move first into confession. And we're right now, in case no one's ever noticed, we're surrounded on three sides by candles, which are another invitation to sit down and to slow down. We've added more in the back. We've replaced more stations for kneeling and lighting candles. They're there every Sunday, but sometimes people don't even notice. So I just want to lift that up. And we're going to pause now to seek that non-running behavior. To think about whether we can stop running from resurrection and name out loud those ruts. I imagine them like grooves on a record album. I'm that old. In which we get stuck. So just stay seated and let's join our voices together in this prayer of confession. Merciful God, we run from resurrection. We are stuck in ruts and do not see our oneness in Christ. We do not sit down to recognize the Christ within us. We fail to notice the Christ in everything around us. Forgive us, we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Friends, God's love is a love that will not let us go. God's joy seeks all of us amid and amidst the pain and the sludge of our lives as we balance on the slippery rocks. God's way in Christ promises life that shall endless be. Amen.
Amen. So I invite you to join together with me in the practice that the church has for recognizing the presence of Christ in each and every person and all of creation around us. So friends, may the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Father, we give you praise and thanks for this.
invite us into prayer together with the words that Jesus shared so long ago with his disciples, and they were passed to the church, and they have been molded and shaped, and they come to us this day in the most traditional of forms, but we also invite you to address God in the way that is deepest in your heart. Let us pray. Our Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Pour your Spirit, God, upon each of us gathered in this space and spread across many places. Pour your Spirit upon the gifts which are before us. Make this for us the body and the love of Christ, and make us, through the sharing of this feast, your love and Christ's presence alive in the world. Amen.
Amen. All are welcome to the table of God's love. All means all, full stop. We encourage all of us who are gathered at home to bring close to you your bread and your juice. If you are here with us in this room, very shortly you'll be invited to go out this door, and there are stations outside to receive the bread and the cup. There are also crackers on the plates that don't have gluten in them, and just so people know, that is grape juice that is in the cup. It is not fermented wine. We invite you to return around the back, and maybe today will be your first time sitting down or kneeling to light a candle and to be open to God's voice in your own life.
Friends, this is the bread of life and the body of Christ broken for you, and the cup of the new covenant, God's love poured out for you and for all.
We will also share on the screen there a phrase that Father Richard shared. And if you are desiring to, feel free to use that phrase as a mantra or a prayer, breathing in and breathing out.
We encourage those who are praying with candles to stay for just as long as you desire. Loving God, we give thanks to you for the depth of this holy mystery through which you are revealed to all of creation in the simple and sacred act of breaking bread, which makes us one and reminds us of your love that binds all life together. So we offer this in our lives in the name of Jesus Christ, our hope. Amen. We want to encourage you to wonder about God's next steps for you, ways that you might be called to reach in love, whether that's signing up this afternoon to watch over our children on one of the Sundays in love outside by sharing a story, or whether that might be joining Avery and Chloe and others out at Table Farm at one of our times together of harvesting and sharing food with our neighbors through an interfaith food bank. For many of us, it includes the practice of giving generously, sharing of our own resources to help this community align ever more deeply with God's healing, resurrection, and hope for the world. And you can do that both online or here in the sanctuary. There are places to share offering, and then also a way that you can text if that is the way you prefer to give. We're going to go out this morning with a song that was written. Actually, it was a poem, a prayer, written in the 5th century by Patrick, Saint Patrick of Ireland. And this is our music team sharing a version of that song that comes to us from the Brilliance called Christ Be With Me. So I invite you to stand as you're willing and able as we prepare to go out into the beauty of God's creation.
Christ be with me, Christ be for me, Christ behind me, Christ within me, Christ below me, Christ above me, Christ be.
From this place, noticing Christ in everything around you. And may we devote our lives to seeking Christ, the hidden Christ, when that happens for us, that our lives might be woven in a reality of God's oneness with all of creation. Amen.